It's not about doing more good than bad in our life. That's not what determines heaven. It's about being in friendship with God, having that supernatural grace, that sanctifying grace in our souls at the time of death. That's why it's never too late for anybody, right? So long as they're still breathing. And that's why it's important to evangelize. It's never too late.
Welcome to Stories from the Street. I'm Brian. Thanks for joining us today. In this podcast, we interview our very own Bob Wilson. Bob has been evangelizing with St. Paul Street Evangelization for many years, and now we're blessed to bring him on full-time as our director. In this episode, Bob speaks to us about grace. Specifically, he answers questions such as, what does it mean to be in a state of grace? How do we get this sanctifying grace that's necessary for our salvation? And why is it necessary for our salvation to be in heaven with God? I hope you enjoy it.
With that, let's get started. Welcome, Brian. I'm glad to see you're there.
Yeah, I'm glad to join you guys. I know I'm not the one being interviewed. I feel like I'm the guest right now coming in.
Well, I'm sure you were praying with us from home, and it's good to have you here now. And then, of course, Bob Wilson is going to be our main guy, just to talk about grace. It's an important topic at all times, but now it's even more. So maybe, Bob, you can just open it up by just telling us, you know, why is grace so important?
Well, it's simple, you know, to be saved from sin and hell and for heaven is everything. You know, if you have a great life and you accomplish everything you ever wanted in your life, you know, you have a great wife, you have 10 kids, you cure cancer, you're rich, you have a beautiful house. But if you end up in hell when you die, then your life will have become a total disaster. Because hell is forever. So we have to have our priorities straight. You know, we have to be heaven-minded first and foremost above everything else. Jesus in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, said, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So God is the source of everything good, right? Existence, love, mercy, friendship, food, coffee, wine.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. But so before we know we worry about anything else, we need to get right with him and then he'll take care of us. And the fact of the matter is that most Catholics today, we're just poorly catechized. You know, we just don't know our faith, right? I didn't start learning my faith until my 30s. And that's because I was struck down with panic and anxiety attacks. But it turned out those struggles were a great mercy from God, you know, because it put me on a path to learn what I needed to know. You know, I didn't know the basics about heaven and hell or how to live my life. And so if we want to be successful evangelists, we have to know those basics about grace and salvation and pass it on to everybody we know, our family, our friends, coworkers, everybody. It's a matter of eternal life and death. And I kind of feel like it's my mission in life to try to make these beautiful teachings of our faith easy for every Catholic to understand, right? Every Catholic out there, we should all aspire to that, to know it and to explain it so everybody can understand it.
You do a great job at it. You have great analogies and stuff, and it's so true. God is the source of everything. You know, right? Brian, what you were going to say something too.
I was. Well, I think it's one of the things that's really cool, Bob, is that you're coming at this topic from a lot of experience on the street. And you know, it's really interesting. I was just actually going on a walk this morning. It was 7 a.m. and I just wanted to get outside. And I actually met a retiree and we just started having a conversation. She found out I was Catholic. And then she just went boom, like all these questions, like why confession? Why the Pope? Why do you have to go, you know, to the church? And then, you know, ended up being a great discussion. I wish I had like just some more time to sit with her, but I realized that as a Catholic, it's important for me to be able to have answers for people that have a lot of great questions about our faith. And even though I think I know it up here, when you were forced to then explain it, like it's in my heart. And I think for a lot of Catholics, or faith, even if they really believe it, is deeply in their heart, but to be able to articulate it well, and in such a way where you're listening to a person so that they can also receive it well, is also like another set of skills. So there's one of just like being catechized and knowing it, and then there's the ability to articulate it. You also brought up something like really powerful that, you know, when you started talking about grace, the importance of what it is and what it means for our salvation, and, you know, and how that having it may be a difference between being with God forever and eternity in heaven or being separated from him forever by our choosing. A follow-up question about that is just like, what exactly is grace? Like, how would you be able to explain that simply to somebody?
Yeah, there's different views. You know, there's the Protestant view where grace is just kind of like a get out of hell free card. We're not changed or anything, but it's just like on judgment day, we can say, hey, I know Jesus, I have faith in Jesus, and so let me into heaven kind of deal. But, and so they have this kind of idea of an imputation where it's just some credit to your account. But in the Catholic tradition, it's so much more beautiful. It's an infusion, right? An infusion of God's life in our souls, and it changes us. And that's what the Bible says when it's, we're reborn. We're born again, and we have the life of God in us. In 1 Peter, the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to teach us that God wants us to be partakers of the divine nature, which is mind-blowing. So grace is a supernatural gift of God, right? And it's bestowed on us through the merits of Jesus Christ for our salvation. And I was thinking about this prayer when I pray the rosary. You know, sometimes when you say these prayers, you just kind of rail them off. You don't think about them too much. But it struck me, that prayer at the end of the rosary, O God, whose only begotten Son, by his life, death, and resurrection, has purchased for us the rewards of eternal life. Okay, so what Jesus did nearly 2,000 years ago is, by his life, death, and resurrection, is he won for us all this grace, this power of God, okay? So he won for us this by his life, death, and resurrection. He won for us the rewards of eternal life, all right? That's what we call grace. It's the power of God, okay? Now, breaking it down, there are two kinds of grace, okay? There's actual grace, and there's sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the sharing in the life of God himself, okay? We need to have sanctifying grace in our souls at the time of death if we want to go to heaven, okay? Actual grace, on the other hand, is a supernatural push or encouragement. It doesn't live in the soul, but acts on the soul from the outside. It gets the will and the intellect moving so we can seek out and keep that sanctifying grace, okay? Another way to say it is sanctifying grace is God's life, and sanctifying an actual grace is God's help. Okay.
I love God's that life. Distinction.
Yeah. God's life. Go ahead, Beth.
No, I love the distinction that God's life and God's help. It's easier to remember. But I also like the distinction you made between grace being like a coat you put on over you, mm-hmm. or something that's inside of you that transforms you. What a richness we have in our Catholic Church that we recognize that God changes us with grace. It's in every cell of our body. It's not something covering us, but part of who we are. And there's such a richness to that. There's such a richness.
And it's not about doing more good than bad in our life, right? That's not what determines heaven. It's about being in friendship with God, having that supernatural grace, that sanctifying grace in our souls at the time of death. That's why it's never too late for anybody. Right? Mm-hmm. So long as they're still breathing. And that's why it's important to evangelize. It's never too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use actual graces a lot. Like, give me the grace to get through this situation. Lord, yeah. Give me the grace. Now, when you do your prayers and you're praying for others too, you're asking God to give them the grace for their situation.
Right.
And I think that's such a beautiful thing, but it is different than just the grace we have through our baptism of where we are in our relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you had a great distinction when you said that, you know, like, is that sanctifying grace is God's life and actual grace is God's help. I think life and help, I think those are the terms you use. That was a great way to do it.
But, yeah, that's a good way, good tip for when you're out on the street. God's life is what we need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it mean to be in a state of grace?
Yeah, right?
That we've been reconciled to God, and we have sanctifying grace in our souls, and we're in a right relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Like I said before, if I die like that, in that state, I'm going to go to heaven. If not, I go to hell. Okay. So another good way to think about it is this. If you wanted to go to the moon, okay, you wouldn't just show up at Cape Canaveral with your jeans and t-shirt and say, hey, let's go. Let's get in the rocket. I want the window seat, right? You would need special equipment, right? You'd need special equipment. You need a spacesuit with oxygen and a bunch of other stuff. You wouldn't be able to survive there, you know? It's the same way with heaven. God needs to equip us to go there. We can't make it on our own. So he has to share his own life with us in order for us to go there.
That's a great analogy. That's the sanctifying grace that gives us the equipment, if you would, to get to heaven.
Has anyone asked you, Bob, why we can't get that grace after death?
We have a lifetime of chances. I mean, once we pass on, we go right to judgment day. And so, yeah, there's no second. We have a lifetime of chances, right? But Hebrews 9:27 says, once we die, we face the judgment. We die once and face the judgment. But we have a lifetime of chances.
Yeah. I think it brings significance upon this life, too. It's like this life does have meaning. And that meaning, as Catholics know, it's like, is to find God. Mm-hmm. And to come to know him, to love him, serve him, and to become and to continue to say yes to him. I remember reading something about St. Thomas Aquinas and why it is that we can't get in the state of grace even after death. But it might be something that effect of what you just said is that, you know, God gives us the gift of this lifetime. Like, why do we need to wait until after death? And so I think God is going to be just, especially for those, you know, for those people who have questions, whether about those people, you know, on the island and they've never heard of Jesus, what's God going to do with them? I think, you know, we want to make so many exceptions for why this couldn't be true. But the reality is that if you've heard of Jesus, and, you know, we have a choice to accept and say yes to him or no. And we already know God says yes to us. I think that's the unique thing about Christianity is God says yes to us. He wants to give us his grace. And then, you know, that's it. We're left with that choice and we have a lifetime to make it.
Yeah. So, and he also tells us never to judge. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God's not going to send that pygmy in Africa who never knew Jesus. God's not going to necessarily send him to hell. God can give him grace. Mm-hmm. I think a better question is not, can that pygmy be saved? I think a better question to ask is, can we be saved if we don't evangelize, you know, if we don't share with the great gift we have with the people in our lives? Mm-hmm. Beth, what were you going to say?
I was just saying sanctifying grace. Everybody wants it. So, I mean, you just born with it, or like, does everyone have it? Like, like, where does it come from?
No. That's the thing. We don't get it automatically and we're not born with it. Right? Because of that whole fiasco in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and the devil. Every human person is born, we're separated from God. And that means without sanctifying grace. So that was a great question. How do we get it? Well, we get it through the sacraments of the Catholic Church. So we sometimes just throw that word around and people don't know what it means, but we got to be able to define it. A sacrament is a sense perceptible sign instituted by Jesus that gives sanctifying grace. And we have seven in our church, right? But let's just talk about the three for now that everybody needs. There's baptism, confession, and the Eucharist. Those are the big ones, right? And baptism and confession, they're sometimes called the sacraments of the dead, okay? Because they are the ones that bring us to life. It starts with baptism. Our faith journey begins with baptism because what baptism does, it incorporates us into the life of Christ, into the body of Christ, I should say. And it washes away all our sin, okay? And then it infuses us, like I was talking about earlier, it infuses us with that supernatural faith, hope, and charity. And it also opens a door to all the other sacraments, okay? And confession is for the sins that we commit after baptism, okay? Because we can walk away from God after we enter into a relationship with him by mortal sin, right? And so when we commit a mortal sin, we die spiritually, and we separate ourselves from God all over again.
Does that take away our sanctifying grace?
It sure does. It puts us right back to where we were before.
Okay. So sanctifying grace is our relationship with Christ. Where are we right now? Are we part of Christ's family? Are we part of the family of God? And it kind of relates, the baptism brings us into the family of God, kind of like circumcision brought in the children of Israel into relationship with God. So with baptism, we're in relationship with God. And if we stay there, we're great. But if we walk away through mortal sin, that's like saying, I got my own plan.
Exactly.
You know, and then we are blessed with the mercy of and the sacraments of the church to get back in relationship.
Yeah. It's just like the prodigal son. He was in the family. He's like, you know what, Dad, let me have my inheritance. I'm out of here. And he left and he was no longer alive, so to speak. He was dead, right?
Dead to the
family. Because when he came back, what did he say? He said, you were dead, but now you're alive again because you came back to the Father's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how would someone know if they've committed a mortal sin?
Well, in order for a sin to be deadly, three conditions have to be met. The first one is it has to be a grave sin. Grave means it's got to be more serious. The second thing is we have to know it's grave, right? God's not going to punish us for things we don't know. And then the third thing is we have to freely do it with the knowledge that it's grave, okay? And then I guess that raises the question, what are the grave sins?
A lot of at least some of the common ones.
Yeah. A lot of us, yeah, we know murder and stuff like that.
So as long as I didn't murder anyone, I'm good. I'm good, right?
That's what people think these days.
But yeah.
It's not so, right? A lot of us don't realize how easy it is to commit one. You know, before I came to Christ, I was like committing one every other day. I didn't have any idea. But let's just go through them real quick. Let's use the Ten Commandments. That's a good guide that our Catholic bishops in our country, they say that's a good guide.
Yeah, so most of them, the examinations of conscience I do, they give you the Ten Commandments and I go through them and I'm like, well, I didn't murder anyone. So maybe they're more than just the initial line. Maybe there's more to it.
There's a lot more to it. And so the first one is don't put anything before God, right? And that means, you know, you're loving somebody or something other than God. That means consulting astrologists, I guess I should say, mm-hmm. psychics, messing around with Ouija boards, stuff like that. And from that commandment, we learned fidelity. You know, everybody in heaven is faithful to God. There's nobody up there, you know, seeking other things that go against God, trying to know the future. That's a big sin. That shows a lack of trust in God. Mm. And the second one, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Can't go around swearing using God's name. Can't break vows or promises to God. From that, we learn reverence. Everybody in heaven is perfectly reverent. And heaven starts now. We don't want to wait, you know, to start working on these things. The third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. Skipping Mass for no good reason. Doing unnecessary physical work on Sunday. These can be grave sins and can be mortal. Not all the time, but, you know, we shouldn't mess around with this stuff. From that commandment, we learn service. Number four, honor your mother and father. We can't ignore them, and we have to take care of them in our old age. We learn piety from that one. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. That involves more than murder, like you were saying. Abortion, euthanasia, supporting or encouraging somebody to get an abortion, even suicide. Here's one, getting drunk. That falls under that commandment.
And this is where anger falls too, right?
Yep. Refusing to forgive somebody, wrath, anger, road rage.
Or just driving, putting people at peril when you drive, if you're texting and driving, that's the one I get. My driving too fast, texting and driving, sometimes like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And that is a sin against the fifth commandment.
Yep. We learn meekness from that one. Mm-hmm. Number six, don't commit adultery. It doesn't just mean, you know, having sex with somebody other than your wife. It can mean sex before marriage, pornography, right? Contraception. How many Catholics are involved in these things? We learn chastity from that one. Number seven, don't steal. Gambling excessively. I used to be a champion at that. Cheating, not honoring contracts, not helping the poor. That's like stealing, right? Think about Matthew 25, mm-hmm. where he separates the sheep and the goats. Number eight, don't bear false witness. That includes lying, gossip. I've done that. Being two-faced, rash judging. From that, we learn veracity or truthfulness. Number nine, don't covet your neighbor's wife. That's like deliberately permitting sexual thoughts. Guilty in the past again of that. Still working on it. Watching shows with impure scenes, like Game of Thrones, stuff like that, mm-hmm. right? We learn purity. We can't be watching those shows. It's displeasing to God, and it puts our salvation in peril. And number 10, don't covet your neighbor's goods. That means being envious of their possessions or their abilities and beauty. How many of us are guilty of that? So we learn temperance from that one too. And so this might be like a shock to a lot of people that all these sins can be, you know, separate us from heaven, separate us from God and put us on the road to hell. You know, it might be a wake up call for a lot of us.
What I love is how when you're going through them, you're listing all the don'ts, but the don'ts are really covered by the virtues that's underneath it. It's not like this big, big God is this big killjoy. Like, I don't want you to do anything fun. It's like, no, you're made for more.
Right.
You're made for more. You're made for these virtues that you mentioned, truthfulness and temperance and purity and justice and chastity and honor and reverence. This is what we're made for. This is what, yeah. This is how we can be who we are.
Who we're meant to be, right? And so a lot of Catholics are probably hearing this and going, wow. So if you didn't know any of this before, you know, I'm sorry, but you're welcome. You know, because because now you're on the hook. You know, and you can't say to God on judgment day, I never knew. And you're welcome because your life and relationships will be so much better once you start living your life according to God's plan for you. He made us and you know what's best for us. So we can trust him and we can, and I know this is hard for us, but we just, the way to overcome these things like gossip and gambling and drinking is just to go to confession.
Yeah. And also asking for the actual grace in the moment.
Right.
In the moment, like I'm walking into a situation, I'm going to be with this person that irks me and I get, you know, and I just ask, Lord, give me the grace right now. Help me to see this person through your eyes so I don't get so annoyed and I don't maybe get angry. So you can ask for those actual graces in the moment to help fight the temptations. You can get the sanctifying grace and even more grace. I mean, confession gives you more than just the sanctifying grace, right? If you don't have mortal sin, I guess I don't have to go to confession.
No, you should go, because if you're not in a state of mortal sin, the more you go to confession, the more sanctifying grace you get. So like I said earlier, baptism and confession can bring you to life, but all the other sacraments, they build on it and you get more and more sanctifying grace. So the more, the better.
stronger.
One of the things that I found, Bob, that as I've grown in my own spiritual life, that's a lot of the sins that I commit are actually not sins that I actually do, but sins that I don't do. Things that I should be doing.
Yes, and exactly.
Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's the way most people look at it. It's like, I didn't do this, so I'm good to go. Well, God didn't create you to avoid things, right? He created us to reach out. So there's also sins of omission, things we fail to do. Because listen, becoming a child of God entails more than just avoiding certain behaviors, right? We also have to reach out and help those in need. Things like not feeding the poor, refusing to forgive someone, not evangelizing, right? Think of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. There's 14 of those. So failing to do those things, Brian, like you said, can put our salvation in jeopardy too. But thank God, like I said, for his mercy. He's so merciful, because if we do commit a deadly sin, we can be brought back to life again by going to confession. Amen. And it's a wonderful sacrament, because not only does it absolve you from those sins, takes them away, but it also gives us the strength to avoid doing those sins again in the future.
That's important.
Amen. And you mentioned the way for us to get that grace is baptism, confession. And then is there a third way that we, another sacrament that we can get to also receive grace?
Yeah. Well, for the Catholic listening who hasn't, like I said, hasn't taken his faith seriously, you know, you're like, oh man, I still desire to gossip. I still desire to have a few too many. I still desire to, you know, blow half my paycheck. I still like to do all these things. What does that say about me? And most people I know are engaged in all these things. And so I don't think many people are going to heaven. They might have that thought. And when I hear that, you know, Jesus said, he said, enter through the narrow gate, right? In Matthew 7, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Right? So heaven, it's not easy. The bar is really high. But anybody can make it. Anybody can. Because like Philippians 4:13 says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? Well, great. Well, how does he strengthen us? How do we get that mind of Christ? Well, that brings us to this third sacrament you were talking about. It's the source and summit of our faith, the Eucharist. Right? In the parable of the vine in John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So how do we abide in Jesus, right? John 6:56 tells us, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. And here's the bad news. The most recent poll we saw came out, you know, last year, 70% of self-identified Catholics in the United States don't believe it, that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. And these are Catholics, right? And so we can't take it for granted that the people that we know and the people at Mass, even going up to communion, we can't take it for granted that they know that what they're actually, another thing, the sacraments, they're not magic. So we need to pray as well. We don't just go up there all haphazardly and just receive it and go on our day. It's the same thing when we go to confession. We just don't go to confession and say, I did this, this, this. If we're not at least a little bit sorry, they're not going to do anything. So we have to engage our will, engage God in prayer, and ask him to help.
I'll never forget a phone call that I got about a year ago, and it was from a lady who had heard about our apostolate, and she knew that we were Catholic, and she called me very upset because her husband was Catholic, had been going to Mass his whole life, but was still a terrible person. And she was like, he smokes, he drinks, you know, and here's this guy that's this Catholic, and I'll tell you what, I listened to a televangelist once on my TV, and all of a sudden I just felt this grace that she was like, I got this grace just by listening to him, and I changed my life, and he's not changing his. And I think it's important, one of the things that you mentioned was that the Eucharist and these sacraments, they're not magic. They are sources of grace. But an analogy that I heard once is that we have to have our sails open to receive it. And although we absolutely believe that Christ, you know, bestows grace in a special way through the sacraments, that's not the only way. So perhaps through the TV, she had her sails open. She was open to receiving God's grace in that moment. And, you know, praise God for him to be able to work with her. But also, just even with Catholics, we can't go to these sacraments without an openness to receive God, without a desire to go back and be reconciled to God. Because then, you know, it would just be like a sailboat without their sails up. The wind's going to blow by. And we're not going to go anywhere.
That's right.
That's so great.
I think it's really important that when we're talking about grace and what we receive in the sacraments, that we have to have our sails up.
That's a great image. I love it. I can see the sailboat with no sails up. The wind mm-hmm. takes you nowhere. But you put it up whether the wind's coming or going. You're ready. You're ready. Mm-hmm. You're ready. That's what we need to be.
So I prayed for her and her husband that he would have that openness. But, you know, she was taking it because his sails weren't up, that the Catholic faith wasn't true. She was like, it would be working in him. And I think that's not a reality. I think it's even possible to be a Catholic and that you go through those 10 commandments and thinking that it's about following the list of rules. But in reality, there is a certain grace of just being able to say yes to the commandments. But first, it's a yes to a person. And then once you have that yes to Jesus, all those other things fall in place and you can recognize and have true contrition for falling out of grace with him, for breaking that relationship and to continue to humbly go back before him. And by saying yes, we're not perfect, but we continue. It's the irony is we need God to help us be in relationship with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, God, I need you to help transform me.
So it's like any other relationship. Let's think, let's see if someone's like a newlywed, they've only been married for maybe not even a year yet, maybe coming up on their first anniversary soon. They don't jump into that relationship knowing how to be a spouse right away. They need feedback, right? You know, from their spouse. Like, this is the way I like things, or this bothers me a little bit. And so it's that relationship, building that relationship is the same with the Lord. You know, as you get to know the Lord, it's like, you aren't sure. Why? Oh, God doesn't want me to gamble? I wouldn't have thought that, but I want to please God. I want to grow in these virtues. I want to push that away. And just the desire, just changing your desire, asking God, can you help me not to desire the things that separate me from you? Help me to desire the things that bring me to you. Ask for those actual graces right then. And that's part of it. I mean, changing your life, it doesn't always start, it's not like on a dime. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's peeling off one layer at a time, changing our perspective, changing our desires, changing our focus, all with the idea that I want to be with the one I love. I want to be in relationship with the Lord. And it doesn't have to happen all at once. It can happen gradually. And these sacraments, oh, I miss them so much.
No.
I miss them so much. Mm-hmm. These sacraments help us to do that.
Yeah. I want to touch on what Brian said too. A lot of Catholics, we lose a lot of Catholics because they're gonna go somewhere and they're gonna hear the gospel message, right? And so what the Mass does, it presupposes you know the gospel message. And so when you go to Mass, you're not gonna hear the kerygma. And so a lot of Catholics have lived their whole lives, went to Mass, never heard the kerygma. And so they just kind of, they don't have this, you know, this love in their heart for Jesus. And They don't recognize what he did. And so when they go to another church, they hear this kerygma and they're blown away by it. And so they're like, man, I never heard this in my church. I don't know the story. And when they go to these other churches, they hear it there and then they just stay there. And so they're like, I never heard this at my church. And so Catholics, we need to be better at telling the story to our fellow Catholics, the kerygma. Maybe that'll be another webinar down the road. We can crack open the kerygma.
Yeah, that'd be great. But the thanks for cracking open grace with us.
And the word kerygma means gospel message, the kernel of the gospel message.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen to that.
Amen. Well, thanks, Bob, for coming on and just being able to talk to us about the importance of grace. I think especially in this time of where we're in a pandemic, a lot of us, I think you start thinking about even for yourself or loved ones or those around you, you know, what do I need to do or what needs to happen in this time? And how do I prepare for my own death? And how can I do that now as a Catholic? How do I start thinking about God and what do I need to do to get in a state of grace? So I think you brought up a lot of good points about, especially if you're Catholic, to be able to receive these sacraments as soon as they're available. Maybe they're not with these stay-at-home orders, but I also, even when they are, I heard a great priest just talk about, you know, if this is something that you're worried about, it's not meant to bring a lot of great anxiety, especially in this moment. Let's say it's literally, you feel like maybe you are in a place of sin and separated from God, but also in a place where you can't go to confession because of these stay-at-home orders that we're in. Not to worry about that and not to let that bring you anxiety, but to also just make an actful and intentional prayer to God that you have your true contrition, and then go as soon as you can. You know, go receive that grace in the sacrament as soon as you can, but also trust that He's a Father, He knows our circumstances, and He's going to be able to hear and answer our prayers if we make that prayer in good
that will. Would even work right now in our circumstances, even if we're mortal sin right now, even if you're in a mortal sin, to with true contrition to pray to the Lord and ask for His mercy with the intention to go to confession as soon as possible. Because if it's not possible to get to confession, we can still return to that state of sanctifying grace through that. And there's a number of priests that have put how-tos and stuff like that on the internet about how to have contrite heart or how to do that.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming on with us. Thanks, Bob, for talking about this. God bless.
God bless. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Remember, God wants His world back, and we invite you to join us in the mission. We're all evangelists and have a role to play. So go to streetevangelization.com, click Get Involved, and that's where you can join a team, start your own team, and financially support the work we do. When you partner with us, you gain access to all of our evangelization resources so you can learn how to evangelize in your everyday life. Thank you so much. God bless.